Welcome to ABA Happy Hour.
Welcome to another episode of ABA Happy Hour Podcast. Today, we have some fun stuff. So I know it's been a minute since we got an episode out. Life happens, right? If you've ever been in grad school or just coming out of 2020, here we are. So better late than never. Today we've got a little define that, which we'll talk about more in a second. We've got some wonderful guests. Our guests today are from Living Connected with You. We've got Laura and Jen. I love both of them so much. Laura is one of my mentors and I just adore her. So I'm so stoked that she's going to be on here. We're talking about the Enneagram today. So it's a very interesting episode for a behavior podcast. And then we've got I Drink and I Try to Know Things. So, see you on the other side. All right. So, define that. Today on tap, we've got tacting and self-awareness. So, tacting is labeling or naming objects, actions, or events. So some people might also call this like categorization, organizing could be. It's essentially labeling and kind of finding a commonality. So the breakdown of that is essentially this is part of verbal behavior, which if you've listened to other episodes of ours, you know that that's a lot of what we're doing, right? So some of verbal behavior is in fact still behavior, right? So looking at tacting, that's as we go through this and you'll notice as we talk about, the Enneagram and what all of that looks like, there's a lot of tacting that's going to be involved. And it's, in fact, tacting to then place into categorization. So very useful skill. And you're going to see that a lot in this episode today. Now, the next one that we've got is a definition that we've got is self-awareness. So this is also verbal behavior. Or can be. And it's a specific type of autoclitic that's discriminative behavior, autoclitic discriminative behavior, and inferential generalization to similar performances exhibited by other people. And that's from Thompson, 2008, if you look that up. So the breakdown of that is essentially recognizing your behavior by comparing it to the behavior of others. Now, there's some good and some, not that I wanted to place too much judgment on it, but there's some things that can be positive from that and some things that can be negative. Now, for self-awareness specifically, we're looking at it as a positive way because, in fact, by doing that, we're understanding ourselves even better. And so the Enneagram is certainly a way to help bring self-awareness. And while it is certainly not the only way to look at personality and way of being, and that it is a pretty fun and exciting way of looking at things, a great framework. So super excited. So as you listen to the episode today, definitely listen for these things as they come up and know that that's what we're talking about. Tacting and self-awareness are kind of our focus today. So, all right, enjoy.
That would be perfect. Excellent. All right. So today we have Jen and Laura. I've known Laura for some time and I've met Jen today and she's fabulous as well. So we'll just turn it over to y'all and tell us a little about yourselves and what's going on.
Let's start. Okay. So hi, my name is Laura. I'm a yoga therapist in the Dallas community, and Jen and I have been, we've known each other literally forever.
Yeah,
I think. I met her when I was in my early 20s, and I'm now in my mid 40s. Should I say that on the podcast? But anyways, we've been working together in some capacity, really since the very beginning. And right now, what our current, the current thing that we're doing is we're working with the Enneagram and yoga together. So we've made an online video program for people to understand what their numbers are. And we've combined, I think, in a unique way, the ancient spiritual philosophy of the Enneagram with the ancient spiritual philosophy of yoga, so that we have both tools to help us create change and to transform ourselves and to have insights. And so that's our current, that's what we're currently doing. And what Laura's not saying is that she's extensively studied yoga as a psychotherapeutic yoga instructor. So she's well versed in the world of movement and yoga. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm a licensed professional counselor here in Dallas, and I've been in private practice for about 30 years now. That tells you a little bit about my age. And I just love the Enneagram. It has really impacted the work that I do with clients, and it impacted them in their own personal growth. And so, and I love yoga, and the two make a nice union. And so we are working together to bring both the body movement and the understanding of your number together to help people really truly understand themselves.
Yeah, we feel like the Enneagram gives you the insight, but oftentimes we don't necessarily have the energy or the tools to then work with the information that the Enneagram uncovers. And so that's where we're like, well, this is a perfect match, because the yoga part of it gives us the ability to get still enough to begin to notice what's happening in ourselves, and then the energy to then change and transform some of the things that we need to change and transform as we learn more about ourselves.
That's awesome.
I'm so excited for all the stuff y'all are doing, because I need it for myself and my clients.
Yeah, so Jesse and I have both, we're pretty interested in the Enneagram. We've had a ton of conversations about it and, you know, kind of what number we are and that kind of thing. But before we get like too deep into that, since this is happy hour, we always ask our guests what they're drinking. I will say it's early in the morning, so and everyone has to work, so I don't think we're actually drinking today, but that's fine. But are you guys, like, you know, water, coffee, anything?
Well, I've had my coffee this morning, and now I'm on to water.
Water.
Okay.
Gotta hydrate.
Yeah,
gotta hydrate.
We're gonna have this food. Yeah, I'll wait for that until we're finished. Yeah, we keep ourselves juiced with the good stuff. What are you guys drinking?
I love that. Oh, well, I actually stopped at Starbucks this morning because I ran out of creamer here, so I had to get my coffee in. So I'm drinking coffee for sure. What about you, Jesse?
Well, as per usual, depending on how many episodes they've listened to, I have my complicated coffee this morning again. So it's got like oat milk, it's got, or oat creamer, it's got this like collagen powder, another like, I don't even remember what I called it last time, but some like brain creamer thing in there. It's got CBD oil, frosted.
Complicated coffee.
Yeah, my complicated coffee, and I have a bunch of water too, but.
You get your brain charged right off the bat.
Exactly. I waste no time. Yeah. And right. Yeah, and this is my second cup. So we're
okay. So I guess I would like to start with just if you guys can give us like an overview of what the Enneagram is for anyone who's not familiar with what it is.
I'm gonna let you take that.
Okay. Jen. So the Enneagram is a deep and profound teaching on us humans, teaching us humans on why we do the things we do, think the way we think, and feel the way we feel. So it's based on 9 different numbers, or what we consider 9 different energies. And each of these energies interact in a very specific way with the world and with its own energy. And
So the Enneagram teaches us about these 9 different energies and how they show up in the world. And every one of us is just one of those numbers. However, the Enneagram is a circle. It's a symbol that's a circle. And what that represents is that we actually intermingle and share a lot of the energies from all the different numbers. And so that makes us all sort of unique. This is a very dynamic way of understanding ourselves. And so we share these energies, but at the end of the day, we really are just the one number in how we show up in the world.
And whatever that number is kind of like the lens that you view the world through. So each person has their own lens, mm-hmm. which I think is really important, or as we've continued to have, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of discussions around the Enneagram, but it's that, you know, with your own lens, you believe that the world is the way it is through your lens. And what the Enneagram can do for you is show you that there are many different lenses, and each person shows up with their own lens. So when we have that insight about ourselves and we begin to understand some of the other people's lenses, things become less personal. It's just the way we are. It's the way we interact in the world.
Excellent. Excellent. I think that was a great explanation. Like I was like visualizing, I mean, of course I've seen it before, but I was like mm-hmm. able to visualize it as you were mentioning in it too. So I think that makes a lot of sense. What got y'all interested in the Enneagram?
I got interested in the Enneagram through Jen. Like again, mm-hmm. in my early 20s, I mean, Jen's been studying this for how long?
A long time.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, at first it's kind of just, it's fun, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this is great. It's another, you know, Jen doesn't like when I use this, but in the beginning, it's kind of just like personality typing, right? So we're all kind of egoistic and we want to learn more about ourselves. Right? Like, oh yeah, I fit in that kind of box, inside that box. And so in the beginning, it was just that superficial, like, oh, this is cool. You know, I'm a number 9. But then it started to like, as if the Enneagram were inside my head and reading and saying the things that were going on for me, it became a little bit deeper than that. And I'm like, whoa, this information is, you know, more than a superficial personality typing. It's talking about my deep feelings. And so that's when I started doing a little bit more study around myself and my number. And what it then did for me is what I just talked about, was that it showed me that the way that I see the world isn't necessarily the way that the next person sees the world. And so when I show up at a gathering and I'm a withdrawn type of person, that's okay for me just to be me. And if another number shows up in that gathering and they're the light of the party, they're not trying to show off. That's just their energy. That's their number. That's how they walk through the world. So it gave me an okay to be me. And it also gave me the ability to see other people as themselves too. So again, it's just that depersonalization, I think, of, I don't know. Yeah.
Can you finish
taking things personally?
Such a beautiful description. I just love that, how it can transform just our understanding. It can go deeper and deeper and deeper the more that we talk about it and the more that we read about it. So the way that I came into it was years ago when I did a training. So I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I did a training, and I learned about all the 9 numbers, and very, you know, it was a weekend training. And I really went with the intention of how can I learn this so I can better understand my clients. But I really, at that time, wasn't bringing it into my own self. It was more of a heady, intellectual endeavor to be able to do my practice with my client. And then I went through a really hard time in my life, and I chose to begin to meditate. And in that stillness and in that quietness, these teachings of the Enneagram began to come to me, and I began to connect that a lot of what I was suffering from was could be understood through the Enneagram. And so that began, all the dots began to connect for me. And I began to see how I had moved away from what I'm really truly meant to be, who I truly am meant to be. And I became this person that was separated from myself. And through the quietness and the self, being with myself in meditation, I began to come back, because the Enneagram gave me a map of how to come back to who I truly am. And so after that, I mean, of course, and Laura and I have talked about this, that was just the beginning, because this understanding reveals itself every single day.
Yeah, again and again and again, and at each different and emotional like learnings and teachings, like talking. And at this point, we have studied Enneagram for several years, Jen more than I. But I told her last night on the phone, I said, you know, I had another a hurtful one, because sometimes it can be hurtful. Yeah. It hurts to see how you've been behaving that not true. So you think you're at this level where you understand everything about yourself and the Enneagram, and then all of a sudden, here's another little layer that shows up, and they're just so subtle, you know? It continues to reveal itself. It continues to give you insight and information and food for growth.
Mm-hmm. And it can be on a profound level, like a very deep, profound level, like if I'm in a meditation and I'm really in a lot of pain, and then then I'm like, oh, that's because this goes back to pride. That is what the Enneagram 2 really suffers from. Oh, now I see it. So it can go from something, a deep understanding, to like an everyday, you know, I'm interacting with somebody and I kind of puff up and, you know, and say, well, you know, I blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, oh, there's the pride. You know, so it has a big breath of how it can show up.
That's awesome. There were quite a few things in there. And I see, Lanine, you have questions too. But it sounds, sorry, we have a lot to ask now. But the first thing, like, I just want to ask this, and I think some of the others you'll probably get, Lanine, too. But it sounds like the Enneagram is really important for, like, perspective taking. Like, I heard that from you. And, like, as, you know, from a counselor or even a behavior analysis, like, that's a skill, right? Like that kind of has to be taught. And so it kind of sounds like the Enneagram is a way to learn that. Is that, have you guys experienced that, like, with the perspective taking and, like, noticing that for yourselves or for others?
Well, I have a quick little example that I can give you in regard to perspective. So
yeah.
I don't know if I hope that this fits with the question that you're asking, but so I was giggling to myself actually this morning, because I had a dear friend that came over to visit me the other day, and I had redone my bedroom, and it's really beautiful. My kids came over and helped me, and I just love my bedroom. And so I wanted to show her, so I brought her back, and she loved it too. But then there's a little cove where my door opens up to, and so when the door was closed back into the bedroom, behind the door, I had hung this painting that my daughter had given me that I love. It's so special to me. And I put it in there because the room is very clean and not a lot of stuff on it. But I wanted this little picture back there for me, you know, just for my pleasure. So that was like my little private, I can open my door and see it. And my friend saw it. She goes, well, and she's a two. She goes, well, this picture is behind the door. It needs to... the door. She literally got the picture off the wall and started going around the room saying, do you like it here? Do you like it here? Do you like it here? Okay, mind you, the only thing I had said is, yeah, the picture's behind the door. That was the only permission I gave her to do anything. But she just had that energy. So So she's an Enneagram 2, so she wanted, she thought, well, this needs to be out. She was trying to be helpful, but I didn't solicit that help. So what the perspective gave me was I could smile at her instead of feeling sort of insulted, which it could have been really insulting, like, why are you moving my stuff around, you know? but I recognized that this was way of thinking, of giving advice when it wasn't asked for, which is another Enneagram 2 thing, is to give anything. One of it is advice, but it can be anything that twos love to give. So she was trying to give to me, and that's her way of showing she loves me. And so I smiled instead of getting insulted. And of course, I put the picture back where I wanted it after she left. But this is the way to be helpful with his perspective. But I want to add on to the story, because I had another friend who came over, and she's an Enneagram 7, and she started rearranging the vases on my counter. I thought, well, this would be better here, and this would be better here. I never asked for her to do that, you know. And maybe, I mean, my decorating's not bad. I don't want you to think that it's a horrible decorating. And again, it was a smile, because she's a 7, and 7s are very colorful and assertive. And if she thinks the thing should be a certain way, then she's going to say it, change it up right there on the spot. So, of course, I put my vases back the way I wanted them after she left. But again, I didn't get involved in it. So does that answer your question about perspective?
It does.
Yes. Yeah, I think, like, you know, from what I hear, not just the perspective taking, but even just the level of understanding for the other person and kind of being able to kind of take what they're doing in love rather than being offended as well. So I love that.
And I do want to make an addendum to that, because being a 2 and full of pride, I could have been really, I keep saying I could have been insulted, because, wow, I can do this. I'm proud of the way I've done my home. So it also is that self-understanding of, oh, I don't want to move into that prideful stance. I want to move into an understanding and loving stance. And I can do that because I've connected the dots there. I'm conscious of that pride in myself.
Right. So we keep discussing, like, the numbers as well. So for those who aren't familiar, could you guys just give, like, a brief little rundown of each number?
That might be hard.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, it is a lot. How can we generally?
Well, so
because we don't like to pigeonhole. I mean, yeah.
Well, so in anything that you read, the majority of the time, there's the number and then there's a descriptor. So we can give just a short descriptor of the number, but that might be something that somebody else has already said, or that it was used by somebody else before us. But there are so many different ways to describe each number. Why don't we choose maybe a little bit more, like Jesse, you and I were talking yesterday, and I read to you two different, what this particular Enneagram is here. If maybe we can pick something like that, or even our yoga poses could be... So the work that we've done is, you know, to combine these two ancient practices, and so we chose one yoga pose for each Enneagram number to depict them at their finest, right?
That's awesome.
Within your Enneagram number, you have levels of health, right? So, I mean, sometimes we're functioning in the world without any insight, and it may not be the healthiest way to function. But as we become more aware, we can grow within our own number, and we can show up with our best self and our best understanding. So, what we did for each number was pick a pose. So I'm going to start with the number 1. And the number 1, we chose Warrior 1 because it's a really strong and powerful pose. and ones show up really strong and powerful in the world. Like, they are willing to fight for what's right.
I'm a one, so I'm really, I'm drinking this all in.
Keep drinking it in, Lindsay. So they're willing to fight for what's right, to make the world a better place. Like, that's a huge thing. You know, it's a lot about they're ethical, and they want everybody else to be really ethical as well. So they show up in Warrior One with an open heart and strong and steady feet. And they are our leaders, and they are the ones that show us moral integrity. So that could be a good description for our number ones in the world at their finest.
Okay, all right. Personally, okay. I love it.
Right. That's kind of what I was talking about too when we first start to learn about the Enneagram, where when it stays above the ground, is that it can look just like another personality typing system, right? So when we first find that number and we show it at the best level of health, it's like, oh yeah, this is great, right? But then we start to kind of get into, you know, why we do the things we do and feel the way we feel and behave the way we behave, and that's where, to me, it gets really rich and we have the opportunity for more growth. So Warrior One for our number ones in the world. For number two, we chose a tree pose. So the tree pose for number two, I think, is a really beautiful depiction of a two. The two brings shade to everybody else around themselves through the branches of the tree. But then you have to remember that if the branches are beautiful and flowering, that there must be nourishment for that tree. And so just as important for the two is the trunk and the roots. So it's really important for a two to feed themselves and to nourish themselves so that they can show up in the world as that giving and loving and nourishing person that they are. So there has to be a balance between their nourishment and then their ability to share that, to give that.
And I just want to encourage the listeners to get up and do the poses while we're talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Totally making notes so we can.
All right. So number threes are, they're powerful. They show up in the world. And they're always really beautiful and exuberant when they're doing it. So we chose dancer's pose for the number three. It's a graceful pose. It's a difficult pose. So just like a three, there's difficulty in the way, in whatever they're doing, but it never looks that way to anybody around them. It's just like,
it's just a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing of beauty.
See all the efforts.
Yeah. And there's tons of effort. It also takes a lot of presence to maintain the pose, right? So if anybody has done that pose, it's on one leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to Google a picture so I could see what that one was. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, you're standing on one leg, and then the opposite leg is behind you, and it's being held by one of your hands. So there's a lot of difficulty, and you have to be really present for that to happen. So a three has to maintain their presence so that they don't help me out here.
You're doing fine. So that they don't keep working.
Yeah.
But basically, to keep working so that they'll be loved, that they have, that they stay centered.
Yeah. Themselves. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready for number four?
Yes.
Okay. We are.
Our number four, we chose dynamic chair. So this may be one that people aren't as familiar with. In the Sanskrit language, it's called Utkatasana, but then, you know, every pose has different variations of it. So this one is called dynamic chair because it is the chair pose, but then you're moving in and out of chair pose, all right? So if you visualize this, you're standing on both of your feet and your knees are bent, so like in a squatting-like position, it's difficult to hold the pose because it takes a lot of strength in your quadriceps to be there. And then as you move in and out, you're just dropping your chest over your thighs, and then you're bringing your torso back up, okay? So number fours are themselves in nature, super dynamic, really, really amazing and vibrant human beings. They're poetic, they are deep, they are passionate, they are unique, they are intense, and their work is to stay balanced. Because they can really go off in one extreme or the other. And so choosing dynamic chair, we thought that working their energy around the navel center gives them this ability to kind of just move in and out of each part of themselves rather than going to one extreme or the other.
It helps with their equanimity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's kind of their virtue, right? Their virtue is to find equanimity in life.
Love that. Sounds like they have like an anchor that they can come back to, like you said, not going too far one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Okay. So let's see. Number fives. Fives are very intellectual. They do thinking, lots and lots and lots of thinking. They live very much in their head. And all of their decisions are, they don't come easily. They've spent a lot of time on making a decision, pondering and showing up. So we chose triangle pose to depict Enneagram number five. The lines of the pose kind of represent the intentionality of the way the fives show up in the world. So triangle pose, again, is one of these that maybe doesn't look as difficult as it actually is. Your feet are, you know, hips width distance, so your legs are kind of wide and one foot is turned out. And then that's the stability there of the pose. But then your upper body, your torso is leaning in one direction. And while your arms are extending in opposite directions as well. So kind of everything is happening in different directions. So it kind of just shows the complexity of a five. They're very, very complex individuals. However, they don't necessarily present as complex. Do you think?
No, not at all.
Yeah, they don't present as complex at all. They present very, they present very simple, minimalist even sometimes.
Yes. There is a tendency to want to hoard, energy, to want to hoard their information, to want to keep things to themselves. They're kind of people who, they're the type of person that keeps to themselves. And so, you know, it's sometimes you wonder if you should approach them. It's that kind of a person. But they're very friendly, usually very funny. And in this pose, with the limbs going in every direction and the feet spread apart, it shows that we don't have to hold on to all that. The five can hold on. They can open up. They're not going to lose themselves. If they start to share of themselves, they feel like they might be gobbled up and never be seen again if they let people too close. So learning how to be received and to be open, having that flow of receiving and giving, is a beautiful place for the five to go.
Yeah, and that is their growth. Mm-hmm. Their growth is to open up their intellect and to expand it out through their body and to connect to others. whereas sometimes without the insight, they want to stay inside in their own space, safe, in a safe space.
Wow. I am loving these like visual representations. Yes. Like, I feel like it's awesome. Really helpful.
Yeah, because I feel like it's one thing to read it, but when you kind of put it again, like with this physical representation, that's really symbolic, then it kind of helps to break down, you know, the core of these numbers, which is kind of cool. Cause like I've had a touch of the five show up. I'm a hardcore one, but I've had a touch of the five and I've never liked the five. I've never liked it before, but now understand, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see how that kind of showed up. So I have a better understanding and that kind of thing for, and I guess even more respect for the five. Cause I was like, I don't want to be a five.
Thank you for saying that. Because a lot of this is about having compassion for the things that we see in ourselves. And when we understand it, we can, it increases that ability to have compassion.
Yeah, that's a huge teaching in our program, is having compassion, self-compassion for what shows up, right? What feels icky about ourselves. Yeah. And compassion, for others.
Yeah. I love it. And I don't want to get too far off, but Laura, I remember we were talking and I was like, I don't want to be a whatever number I said. I think I said that too. I'm so sorry. But Laura, you mentioned that like sometimes when we're having that strong reaction, sometimes that's because maybe
we are a little bit. It's something to look at. It's definitely something to look at when you have that real like, ooh, I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm really glad that this point is coming up, because most people do really kind of struggle with their number and have a hard time accepting that that's how they are showing up in the world. Because we have all sorts of defense mechanisms, as you guys know, to defend mm-hmm. us from these truths, you know? And so breaking through those is half the process.
Yeah.
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 Okay, are we ready for number six? We chose Warrior 2, which is Enneagram number 6. And we'll remember that each one of these is when they're really functioning at a healthy level, right? So the 6 also lives in their a lot of thinking, a lot of
thinking,
headspace.
Planning ahead, thinking through everything.
They don't trust what they know, even though they're the most intuitive, I think. They're the most intuitive, but they don't necessarily trust their own gut. They're always looking outside of themselves for their answers versus coming into themselves for their own answer. So the way that I teach Warrior 2 is from the center outward. So Warrior 2 so for those of you who don't know Warrior 2, our legs are right, and one foot's turned out, the other one's just set. The body is going in all directions, kind of like our triangle pose. But I'm actually just going to teach right now.
Kind of like a standing triangle.
Yeah, I'm just going to teach it because I think that gives me a little better felt sense of it. So I'm going to pretend like everybody's getting ready to do Warrior 2. I'm going to have you step your feet wide and just turn one of your feet out, and then I want you to take your attention to your navel center. And then from your navel center, drop your energy down through your legs and into your feet, and feel the solidity, the solid grounding. And then take your energy upward from your navel into your chest, and let's expand the arms out wide, so all the way out toward your fingertips. And then bring the awareness back to the navel. And then let's take the energy and let the energy reach all the way up through the center of your body into the crown of your head. And now if you can just sense that, it's as if your deep knowing comes right from the center of your body and expands out in all directions. So for a 6, they need to go in into the navel and to listen to that deep intuition that they have. And then trust that and move into the world with their intuition and with their knowing. So it helps them, or it helps them to connect to that part of themselves that is so alive and rich, but oftentimes kind of covered up
by thinking, planning, worrying,
and fear. There's a lot of fear in sixes.
So I was like thinking about the fear a little bit, but it sounds like they kind of just like don't trust themselves, and that's like very interesting to me. Wow.
So in not trusting themselves, there's lots and lots of planning. Lots of planning, lots of thinking, lots of doing, right? Instead of just knowing, instead of the knowing.
That makes a lot of sense. I recently had a coworker who identifies as a six. And so I'm like thinking about like my interactions with them and like how that shows up and what that means. I'm like, oh, like talking about perspective taking. I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. Like I can see where that's coming from right now. So, okay.
Sixes are the ones that know exactly where the emergency kit is in the airplane before they get on the plane. They're going to know where that is just in case. You know, they've done their research.
Because they want to keep safe. Because it comes back to that fear. They want to keep safe. And they want to keep you safe.
Yeah, that's the way they love. They love other people through protecting.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay, so on to the seven. The seven is fun.
Fun.
Woo! So much fun.
Happy hours.
It's so true. Like, what's your description of the seven? You said like the bubbly and the champagne, mm-hmm. right? They are just. They're kind of the fun.
The fun of the party. Life of the party. Class clown when you're in school. Just enjoying life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we chose for the seven seemed only appropriate that they have more than one pose. They needed a full sun salutation. So the sun salutation is just a grouping of, you know, maybe 3 to 5 different poses that flow together and that look really beautiful, you know, as you move into one or the other. So sevens are innovative, they're endlessly creative, they bring energy to the world, and they really help things to grow and to change. Traditionally, sun salutations were done in the morning, and they were done just by young children to teach them discipline. And for a seven to be really healthy, a seven needs to kind of bring themselves in and have just a little bit of discipline in the way that they live, because it could just, I mean, it just goes on and on.
They invent during the so that they have a million ideas. I mean, they would like just a million ideas about how things could go.
So they forget to celebrate and to really appreciate all the things that they do because they're already on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So as a seven, you use that energy to do your creations, to do your innovations. But in the best health, we have discipline within that, and we appreciate, and we pause, and we slow down, and then we move on to the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. they are able to quiet some and not have quite so much activity, and they grab a little bit of that five energy, honestly, to just settle to be rather than going on to the next thing. So that way, they can learn to be more present to their life. They can enjoy this moment instead of thinking about the next moment.
Right.
They always have more options. You know, if they have a party that they're going to at 7 p.m. and somebody else asks them at 7:05 to go to a different party, they're like, maybe I can go to both of them. I'll go to the 7 o'clock one until 7:30, and then I'll go to the 7:05 until 8 o'clock, and then we'll see what's next.
That's big. I know some folks like that.
I think that's kind of the fun thing too, right? Like as you learn about all the nine numbers, you really start to see, you know, you really start to see the way people show up in your number. Yeah. And
seeing that through, you know, being able to see them through another lens.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you guys have any questions on that one?
No. I feel like I need a seven in my life, though.
That's so, I love that you're talking about that, because really that is what the, when we talk about the Enneagram, we like to talk about it from an energetic perspective. And each number has their own energy. And we do take from some of these other energies to create balance in our life so that we don't get stuck in one particular energy, but we can more easily move in and out. And actually, did you say that you were an Enneagram 1?
I'm a hardcore 1.
Okay. So 1 has, actually has a lot of 7. A one grabs up that 7 energy when you're at your best.
Really
good. And so you actually have that already accessible to you. It's just a matter of now knowing that and accessing it.
Okay. Make some notes for myself.
That's so awesome.
I love, for some reason, this is making me think of like the, what is it, that phrase, opposites attract, right? Whether it's for yourself or even talking about like Lenine, when you're like, oh, I need someone like that in my life, you know, it sounds like the Enneagram is not necessarily so you find other people that are your number, but people who wind up balancing you too, right? As you look at like your friend group or, you know, something like that. That would be interesting. Like, I'm like, I need to like look at my people and be like, all right, where, you know, where does this all fit? And are they balancing me out, kind of thing?
I have a friend group. There are 4 of us. And it's really interesting how when the 4 of us are together, everything really flows because we have all the energies together. If you take one of us out, the whole dynamic is different. You know, the more I understood the Enneagram, the more I understood what was happening. We have, is it aggressive energy? I haven't learned that. Okay, thank you. Assertive. So we have an assertive energy, we have a dependent energy, and then we have 2 withdrawn energies in our group of 4. And so if you take our dependent or our assertive energy out of the group gets a lot more still, a lot more quiet. It's just really interesting to kind of watch how everything changes when you take one of us out.
Bring the
Yeah. Are we ready for number 8?
Yes.
I think
so. So number 8 is, we chose wheel pose. So wheel pose again. Jesse.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I'm trying to figure out what my number is, and wheel pose is my favorite pose.
Wheel pose again is one of these really big and difficult poses. So you are literally in a back bend, and not like a bridge pose back bend. Your feet are on the ground, your heart is shooting straight up towards the ceiling, and your hands are down the ground. So you are, yeah, so you're in a big back bend there. 8. For their balance, need this vulnerability. And so if an 8 can show up with their heart wide open, this wheel goes. I mean, there is no hiding. There's no hiding in that. Then that is them at their best self. You also have to trust yourself to be in this difficult position, right? I mean, it's hard. It's a very strong pose. So for an 8 Enneagram, learning to trust themselves is also really important. They themselves are powerful. They're energetic. A lot like a 7 in the powerful, and they have endless energy to move through the world. They too are leaders.
Yes, they're the bosses of the world. They can take charge and lead the rest of us.
And they get things done. Now, when they're healthy, they get it done in a way that everybody can be a part of and get a benefit. If they're not healthy, they are going to plow over you, and they're not going to care who's in front or who's behind. So
the wheel pose depicts them at their finest, where they're actually vulnerable and trusting, but they're still powerful and they are capable of getting things done. They are leaders. They take care of our world. And they also, I think we were talking about this too yesterday, Jesse, apes are always taking care of the underdog, right? When they're soft plates and they're big energy. Yeah. So they are beautiful, beautiful human beings.
As we all are.
Right. As each number is. Each number has their gift. Their gift can also be their worst thing. Just like if you take one piece of cake, it's so delicious. If you eat the whole damn cake, you're going to feel like shit. So we have to take that gift and observe it and understand what it is.
Mm-hmm. And then we can choose to do what we want. Yeah. Everybody has a choice.
Yeah, I think that's Jesse's so important.
Definitely. You're definitely an eight. You're an eight for sure. An eight and a three. I can see the three in you too, but definitely an eight.
So that's kind of, I think we said this in the beginning, and Jess and I were talking about this yesterday as well. I think that we need to be clear that you really are just one number. And sometimes it takes a little while to really get to what that number is. And there are, there are a lot of different facets of the Enneagram that can be helpful in helping you to find out what your number is. And we don't say that so that you are defined and in a box, but so that you really can go deep with the information, the insight that number gives you. And then once you know that, we do have access, just like we were saying, to all of the other energies on the Enneagram.
Yes, it's really important to understand that it does take the time you need to find what your number is, because that's going to make all the difference in how you can work with it. If when you land on the right number, it's so profound and it can provide such enormous insight into yourself and therefore a path to be your best self. And how you do that, really, each number has a certain way that they, what's the word I'm looking
for? Their motivation.
Yeah, their motivation. And
the way they make decisions is based on this motivation.
So it's the what motivates them in their life that makes that number. So for instance, I was talking earlier about how I had two different numbers come over and rearrange my living room and my bedroom, right? Mm-hmm. So the behavior looked the same. What was motivating it was different.
Yep.
One was motivated because she wanted to give to me. She wanted to offer her beautiful experience on where this picture would be best hung in my room. That was her gift. The other one was because she's assertive, she takes charge, and she sees things, and she's aesthetic, and she knows how things should look, and so she did it that way. So she was motivated to by her aesthetics, her deep knowing of aesthetics.
Yeah, so I think that's a really important piece, right? Just because somebody is behaving in a particular way does not mean we know why they're behaving in that way, you know? And each person has their own way, each number and each person has their own way of doing that, right? So this is a very important clarity
on this, because the behavior can look the same, but the motivation is what drives us.
I love that.
That's big. Yeah.
So the number nine, our last number.
Energy to talk about.
Yeah. We chose the Sphinx pose. Okay. So Sphinx pose is while you're lying down on your tummy.
So your whole lower body is down on the ground. Your navel is still down on the ground, but above the navel, you start to lift upward. So there's a lot of kind of strength and action through the upper torso and all the way up through the head. The forearms are down on the ground as support. So again, this is one of those poses that looks a bit effortless, but actually it takes a lot of strength and effort to create the pose and to actually hold the pose. So it's really, it's grounding in a sense, but it's also a huge heart opener. Different than the wheel pose. There's that nice grounding sense to it that a nine energy definitely holds. They can hold their ground, and then they show up in the world with this lens of full heart, seeing everything equally. It's all love, and I don't know, look at me, I'm a nine, I can't talk about the nine. it's difficult for a nine to talk about themselves. And so I think that's the other thing that about this pose, it's not small. It's big. When a nine is healthy and they show up, they can really show up in a big and profound way.
Exactly.
If you could keep going on that one.
Well, the nines are the people, you know, are joiners. They're the ones who just are present and joining in and pleased to do so. You know, they don't make a lot of fuss, and they kind of go along with things, and they enjoy just laying back and being there, you know. So I love this, this pose is taking up a whole mat, but very grounded. So much of the body is on the ground. That really is like a nine. Yeah.
At least I'm waiting.
I feel the need to use another descriptor that is often used for the nine, which is the peacemaker, because that really does resonate with me. That is one of the most important things for a nine is to keep the peace, which can be a really beautiful thing. Like we've already talked about, it's a gift of the nine, but it's also their worst feature as well when it goes out of balance. You know, I will forget myself to keep the peace, when oftentimes I need to make the conflict. I need to get into the middle of it so that I save myself, right? Instead of keeping the peace for the environment. And so our work for the nine is to get out there and to take action, right?
And not just any action.
Right action.
Yeah, action that is beneficial for them and others. Yeah, not just any action.
Yeah. I love that. These are awesome. Like, I love this whole thing.
Yeah, this is definitely, I think, the best description that I've gotten about, like, all nine numbers. Because, like I said, you can read about them and, you know, but I don't know, it's so easy to kind of pick out those negative pieces to all of them, you know, especially when you're reading it about yourself. So I really like this. This was a great way to kind of view them, which kind of brings up my next question of how do you think that the Enneagram compares to like other personality tests and things like that?
I think that, and Jen, come on, I've been talking a lot.
No, do you want to?
No. Okay. Okay. So specifically, I'm going to take that word back. I'm going to start over. Let me just pause. As a nine, and you could pause for a second. I think that the Enneagram is the root of it all. Like, I think that it gives us the deepest insight about ourselves and the motivation as to why we're thinking, feeling, and doing. I think that other personality typing systems, horoscope, I'm not sure if you mentioned that. It's like if we know ourselves, then these other systems But these other systems are more about kind of our, having a hard time. I'm going to need to pause again.
Yeah. So the Enneagram is really dynamic, and it starts with understanding ourselves and then shows us, gives us a map on how to become our best self. Other things are wonderful and can be really telling to you about who you are, but they're more stagnant, more finite. And so there's not this movement. There's like you were saying earlier that you love this because reading about it, you tend to pick up on the negatives, but hearing this, you see that there's this other side of where we can grow and who we can be. And I don't know that other systems really offer that.
Okay. Yeah. I think from what you're saying, what I understand is that, like with the Enneagram, it's more, I guess, like even a development type tool rather than just saying, like, here's what you are, do what you want with it. Like, it has more of a developmental side to it as well.
Right. And then we've been talking this whole time about all the different energy. So it's so dynamic in that way, because once you understand what your energy is, then you can kind of go, oh, well, there's these other energies that I can also bring into my life. And so you can grow and move and change. So, for instance, I'm what would be considered a dependent on the Enneagram, which means, well, and but I can also grab that assertive energy when I need to. I can learn about how to manifest that assertive energy in me or the withdrawn energy in me, depending on what's appropriate for the situation. And so I can or I don't have to, but I'm not stuck with this habitual way of being that I've been doing for years and years. And that's really where the yoga, the meditation, and the mudras come in that Laura and I really bring to the Enneagram, because with those practices, we can get out of our habitual way of being in the world and open up to these other energies, which was going to make us more alive and more dynamic as people.
Yeah, so it's not so defined. I mean, you know, like it's not whatever. So when we find our Enneagram number, we don't just want to say, I am a 9. That's it. I'm a peacemaker. I merge. I do this. I do that. But it's like, this is my tendency, and I have the opportunity to do things in another way. Mm-hmm. That can create more balance, and that can create a more whole self, a whole way of being in the world.
I love that, like a rewiring, basically. Like these practices are a way to help us rewire and create those behaviors that we're wanting, right? That are more healthy and serve us and towards what we're trying to move towards, right?
Exactly. So, like, just to get somatic about this, if you think about it, if in your body, you have had a lifetime of like having one shoulder higher than the other, let's just say. Like it just sort of, something happened, you sort of just move like that. Well, actually, this is a personal experience. Like I always had one shoulder that would move in, forward. And I would find that when I was the shoulder was always moving in. And so that was my habit that was unconscious. And when I became aware of it, I could then go, oh, I'm out of alignment here, and push my shoulder back and get back into alignment. So that's really what the Enneagram does. We have these habits, and when they become conscious, then we can readjust that habit and better align ourselves to live in the world.
Excited to learn more. And so speaking of, what are some resources that, whether it's the ones that y'all have created or whether it's other ones that, any other suggestions that you have of where people can learn more and where to find you too?
Well, thank you for asking. We have developed a video series that covers each one of the numbers, and then we also with each number have a meditation that goes with that number, a yoga class that goes with that number, and a mudra and a yoga pose, as we've talked about here today. And then also just the talk about each number.
Right, the talk about each number is
is very rich and deep information. I mean, it gives their what their motivation is. It gives what they habitually do. It gives what their virtue is, like how to grow. Each number in depth.
Yes. Yes. And so that video is available, and you can find it on our website, which is livingconnectedwithyou, all one word, livingconnectedwithyou.com. And if you would like to email us and get on our mailing list, you can email us at livingconnectedwithyou@gmail.com.
Perfect. We will make sure that is accessible, so people can kind of click and find you through our stuff too. Perfect.
Also, we also do workshops, 3-hour, 5-hour, 12-hour workshops where we go more in depth with the audience. So like if it's therapist, we teach them how they can use this material in a helpful way with their clients and give them tools for that. And the same thing with yogis.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Now, I will say it's time for a last call now, because I know our time is short. So our last call. So we do have a couple of random questions for y'all. So there's not like a quiz, right? There's no wrong answers. But we do have a couple of questions we did not share with you already. So.
All right. So our first question is, what would you say are your top three values?
I don't really, you know, I don't really know all the value words. I know that there's a bunch of value words,
totally,
but
fine.
I would say for me, what I value is presence. My own presence to the moment and the presence of the people that I love in my life. So being really present is one thing I value. I value simplicity, and I value authenticity.
Authenticity. That's awesome.
Let's see, what do I value? I value deep respect. I value honesty. I have to use authenticity as well. I value authenticity. And just that, here I am right now showing up authentically me and observing you as authentically you.
Love it. Love it. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Next up, we've got, this is a random one, but what is reinforcement? What's kind of like the definition?
Jesse likes to quiz people.
Reinforcement is
nothing.
In every other number so that we are completely whole. Oh, no, I love it. That's sort of the first thing that came to my mind, too. And then as I sat with you, I think my reinforcement is my meditation.
Oh,
is quieting and stilling and connecting with myself and God. Honestly, my definition of God, you know, that presence that is within me, and having that connection. Yeah, that's meditation, I would say.
Last question, though. You know, it's first thing to come to your mind, because this one's pretty silly. So,
right.
What liquid would you want to come out of your finger for the rest of your life?
I have to say water.
Oh my God, I was going to say the same thing.
I think water's life.
Yeah, and
water's
simple.
Life. And it's simple.
Cleansing.
Yeah.
And it's rejuvenating. Like, I want water.
Good water.
I want water from Lake Atitlan in Guatemala.
Woo!
I love the specificity in that. That is fantastic. Yes.
Not just in the old water. I love it. I love it. Thank y'all so much for being on here. I know time for today. So we may have to revisit some of this another time. And do that. Thank you guys so much for being on.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. Been a pleasure to be with you guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. We appreciate all your insights. Thank you.
Yes, thank you guys so much. Again, I know there's some stuff we didn't get to, but we may have to maybe if y'all are down, we could find another time, some time to kind of do a part two.
Yeah.
You guys are natural.
I drink and I try to know things. So here we are. We've got yet another Skinner quote, because a Skinner quote a day keeps the mentalism away. So today we've got, if you're old, don't try to change yourself, change your environment. So let's take a little break down there. Really, when we're talking about behaviorism in general, a lot of it is really more about the environment, and it's how you are, an organism is interacting with their environment. Check out that SAFMED there. So with that, right, if we are noticing that, oh, we've got to change things, and I would say whether you're old or not, right, sometimes an environment change is certainly so important. And I can attest to that, right? That's why, like, vacations are great. You can come and get a new perspective. Or maybe you move and, you know, things go great. So, and sometimes, you know, you just learn a lot about yourself, speaking of that self-awareness, right? So I think I'd encourage you to sit with that one for a little bit. Definitely let us know, reach out to us, email, social medias, and let us know kind of your take on this particular statement from Skinner about not changing yourself necessarily, but changing your environment or how you interact with your environment. So, all right, let us know. See you later.
If you guys are supporters and really like what you heard in this episode or previous episodes, please make sure that you like and follow us at ABA Happy Hour Podcast on both Facebook and Instagram. You can find us on both of those. And of course, always follow us on whatever podcast platform that you listen to. We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and lots of other podcasting platforms. So just make sure you support us on whatever platform it is that you prefer to use.
Indeed, indeed. You're also welcome to email us at ABA Happy Hour Podcast. No, wait. ABA Happy Hour. Sorry, y'all. We're recording this after a couple. ABA Happy Hour at gmail.com. There it is. There it is. There it is. So you can email us there with any of your questions if you like. And then also what you can do, Lenine was mentioning all those lovely places that you can find our podcast. If you follow the link on there, if you really like what you heard, we are accepting donations of any form, really. Reinforcement is a big part of our podcast, of course. And so if you feel generous to donate and you have the means, we would love a little support to keep us going so we can expand a little bit too. We have some great ideas and we'd love to keep providing great education and laughs for you all.
Absolutely. So guys, just make sure you support us in whatever way fits you best, and we look forward to hearing from you.